Wednesday the 29th of April, Hey Eo, Dein Hanoch Friedman, Shailus with Dine Mominus.
Oh, as an Abbeis Din, first I have to start with a short Hagdama. First of all, the Nesivis HaMishpat, in his Perush on the Torah, he brings down a Medrash. The Medrash says, I'll get to the Dine Mominus, but to start with the Hagdama, the Nesivis says, brings a Medrash. The Medrash says that Lech el Namala Hatzel, go to the Namala, to the end, lazy one. Hador Rechsev Shoftim B'Shoftim Titelacha. This is what it means by you have to have judges, Shoftim B'Shoftim, Shimni Dayanim. So he asks a tremendous question. Chazal tell us that the apostle says the opposite. Lech el Namala Hatzel, Shein Lo Shofit V'Kotzi. But the Namala has no judge. And Fakat, the Gemara tells us in Erevin, Daf Kuf, that he could learn out the Isra of Gzela, Thivari, from the Namala, that one hand doesn't touch anything another hand touches. So what does the matter say? Hadol dichsiv, lecha malatza, shayftim b'shotim. This is in shayftim b'shotim. So the Nesiva says that an ant will not touch anything another ant touched. But everything the ant eats is from the balabayas. So you see from here that even if a person, if an ant has a good meter, doesn't want to touch anything which is gezel, won't touch, it smells if another ant had touched it first. But if you don't know the halacha, then it's possible that everything you have can be gezel. So it says here that both things are true. From the Namala he can learn the Mida, he doesn't want to steal. But he can also learn Adar Dixiv Shoftim B'Shoftim Titen Lecha. That if you don't know the Halacha, that maybe even with the good intention everything is stolen. But that's very important. Dayan comes to tell you that if in case someone has a Shaila, he has to ask a Dayan or a Rav Musmach. And to know that to go to our kayas, if you go to a civil court, the Goyisha court, it's Gzela Mamish. That's very important to spread that idea. Many times people think they have the right to Goyisha court, which is, in Shulchan Aruch it says, it's Meirim Yad B'Tiris Moshe. That's the first thing. Second thing, also the short Akdama, before I go into Dine Mominus, is the Chafetz Chaim says that if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, would call another person, you're a Russian, come and show, say you're a Russian. So nobody will look at him. What are you talking about? He would be insane there forever. But the Torah says that leave a Russian below your shalim. That if a person doesn't pay back a debt, he's considered a Russian. So many people have the mistake that they feel that paying back a chayiv is a minas chasidus. You should know that it's not that way. Leiva Roshim lo yishalim. If a person is a leiva, or if he's an orev, it's not stam. It's a serious matter. Before one signs an arbis, Chazal say before you become an orev, it's rachik min arbis. You should stay away from it. But if you sign, you should know that it's serious. Or a leiva. These are two orevs in practical dini mominus that a person should know before I start the cases which came up in dini mominus. Now, in reference to Shailas and Dine Mominus, there's a Gemara in Bometzia and Samach Beis that tells us, when do you have to think if somebody gave you something, perhaps it's a mistake? The Gemara tells us, the principle is that, for instance, in a place where they count, they used to count only in numbers of five. So if I find an additional five instead of 10, I found 15. So you have to think maybe he counted one more. But in that place where they only count in fives, I find one or two more, then if I find that, I can assume that it wasn't a mistake. Perhaps it was a matana, perhaps it was something else. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, you only have to be chayshish from a mistake in a situation where it's somewhat likely that there may have been a mistake. This is the Gemara Bometzia, and this is Gepaskin and Shulchan Aruch. Now I'll ask you a case, what your Shikul Hadas is. When I give a Shira Chosheh Mishpat, I like the people to join in and to hear their opinions on the subject. This is a situation, an actual case, person, a shliach, a meshulech, for a yeshiva. He goes to one person, and this person gives him the same amount every year, let's say £100. By the window, he doesn't take him into his office. You know, some people take a person to the office, there's some people that talk to a person. This person by the window, he just sees the guy, he writes out the check, £100, shalom aleichem, shalom, baruch ha shalom, seizchem shalom. And this is the same story he had in maybe 10-15 years. So he knows the man. That's exactly, he can tell in his dream exactly what's going to happen there. Now he goes to this fellow, and he comes out, he goes away from the counter, and he sees the check is £1,000. Both, but it's both in numbers and in words. And the man said to him absolutely nothing. From one side, how could a man, why should a man make a mistake? If in numbers, maybe, yeah, it's just a zero. But it's in words, it's written £1,000. But on the other hand, is it the derech of a person if he decided this year to give you 10 times as much, normally says something, or he heard about your work, it takes a year or something, oh, I found out you're doing something good, I like it, not just, you came to Shem Aleichem, they wrote it out, and you went away. So, do we have to ask or not? Can we assume that perhaps this is a mistake? Do we have to ask or not? Another thing is, if you don't have to ask, is the man believe? Let's say tomorrow he calls you and says it was a mistake. Does he believe? Because it's not, the money doesn't belong to the shliach. The money belongs to the organization. Maybe he changed his mind. So, what do you people think? If it's a mistake, how do you make a mistake and why? Should we assume this is a mistake? Or the person's not mechuyev to ask? Anybody have any opinions on the subject?
What's the downside
of not speaking? That's what I'm asking. If I'm first of all, you may be mastered your organization.
If he's not believed, then
you shouldn't ask him. If you're not believed. If a man gave you many times present, you have second thoughts about it. Or are you mechuyev to trouble yourself? You already left. Are you mechuyev to ask? Something like that. If a person gives you. What?
He's done it for so many years at the same figure that it's unlikely that he would
have given. Well, how does he make a mistake in words also? He knows the man. He knows this man. How does he make a mistake?
I think something else.
In the Gemara too, he can think of something else. When they count in fives, maybe he's thinking something else. He counts in one. Why do we have the principle in the Gemara? Situation, he definitely would be believed.
So then write a thank you letter. Especially then it's the other
direction. He may send you an angry letter, not a thank you. Al Kapani, that's one case.
We're not finished.
believe the pizza is something, but is the mishulach mechuyv?
Most of the rabbanim is not mechuyv to ask.
No, you said that was the
rabbanim
saying.
No, it's the rabbanim. I'm sorry, did you go after the rabbanim?
That's halacha, nishnagiyah.
Yeah, that's halacha, nishnagiyah. That's halacha. So Rabbi Yanke Bloy, I asked him also his opinion.
So if you write an extant letter, special
if
letter,
the money's gone through,
then he knows
the
truth.
The money's gone through the bank, yeah?
You have to give him back. You have to give him back. Even if it went through, makes no difference. Now let me ask you a more complicated case. If we spent it, you have to give it back. If it was a mistake, you have to give it back.
Why don't you say at that stage, the Balabais would have to prove that
he... Yeah, because this was a suffix in the original Muzak, the Chachila. That was the Shaila. Because it was a suffix, he got it. It was a suffix in the original Lakicha. That's what the Bach says. Now, let me ask you a different case. This is also an actual case that happened. This is a man entrusted money by a widow, and she didn't speak Hebrew. They came from a Spanish-speaking country to Israel, and he entrusted money with her. Then he calls her, £10,000, let's say, and he calls her from the phone, I'm coming to pick up the money, but I don't find a parking space, so I'm sending somebody up to get the money. And there was, and it's a few flights upstairs in our apartment building. So in the 2 minutes, until somebody comes up, came a mishulach to the door. And she saw somebody, asked for money. So she gave the money. Now the mishulach, they don't find anymore. So the question is she obligated to pay or not? She considered it negligent. He said, I'm sending somebody up. But he didn't... She got to speak Hebrew. He knows how to speak Hebrew. Now he comes to the door. First of all, how often would you think in this 2 minutes that would come somebody else to her? She's not an address. She's not a rich woman. And how often would it come somebody in the 2 minutes until somebody comes up or somebody else would come? Excuse me?
If you've got, in such a thing,
you'd have
to
be my the question is a different one. Why should she possibly be hired? There are two reasons why she should be hired. First, she's a shamer, she knows. So the question, would she consider negligent? Given in such a situation where someone told her to send somebody out. That's one thing. The other thing is, and then it says also, and then it says also that if you give an object to the wrong party, you have to throw it away. So it could be your amazik. So amazik also, there's a degree of shia in your chayav. So the question is here, do we look as here, or as a posheya, reference to being a shem rechina, or to being a mazik? There could also be a difference between going to an office and also going to a home, asking a woman in a home. It could also be what the derech is, especially someone who doesn't know the language. And you said you're sending somebody up. And how probable somebody will come in the next couple minutes. So what do you people think? You think you're negligent? I see Reb Shimon thinks he knows he wouldn't give money without somebody telling him. So I think also if somebody comes to my office, I ask, Who sent you? But she doesn't know the English.
You don't know enough for English.
What?
Excuse me,
enough Yomi?
No,
there's
no enough
for
English.
What'd you learn?
If you send somebody, your employee, to take money from your company.
No.
Yeah, and now it's...
She named this money because I gave it. But not if it's for Shaya. That's talking about if the company gave it to the right guy. But if, instead of giving it to the worker, if he gave it to somebody else, if he gave it to the right worker, but if he gave it to the wrong people, he must take it in the Gemara.
That's not if it's wrong people.
Oh, that's another question. Even if we would be Mechayev, even if whether we potter her or whether we Mechayev her, there's also a question of a Shmua. On both sides here, there's a question of a Shmua. First of all, even if we said she was potter, she would have to swear up at the end that she had no suspicion. If the man who came was a man 90 years old with a big cane, so you wouldn't imagine he was the errand boy. That's who they sent. Yet she had no suspicion in her mind that this wasn't the right guy. And on the other hand, even if he machayev her, then he'd have to swear that maybe he sent two people. Maybe it's a hoax. mistakes on his side. Maybe he sent somebody up first, now he's disclaiming the money. There's a room for a shvuah on both sides of the coin. Now the question is, do we look at her as being Pasheya? Now there's another question. Luyatsur, tomorrow they find the Shaliach. Is he mechuyev to believe this story? Somebody gives me money, and then tomorrow he tells me that he's supposed to give it to somebody else. So it's a far-fetched story. Is he mechuyev to believe?
£5. You could say, presumably, it was much more than £5.
That's right.
The guy, I'm sure, doesn't expect to get that sort of money.
That's normally because he has extra money, but it's happened. The coin saw somebody happened to be there, and it was just the day he had an operation, so he gave somebody £10,000. It happens sometimes.
Okay. But it's rare,
very
absolutely rare.
Very rare, true, that's definitely rare. So the Mishliach would definitely have to give back the money if they find him. The meantime, they haven't found him yet. But the question is, do we look at the woman as being Poshea or not in this situation? Where he's sending somebody up, and taking somebody to the door. What? Maybe he's a Poshea, but we don't find him. He says he doesn't know any stories. The woman gives him money. She's an Ammonite. If she was a married woman, you can't take more than what she's logical the husband would agree to. But an Ammonite, she gives him money. He doesn't have to ask her any questions. It's his lucky day. He doesn't mechuyev to think it is a story that she's a shliach from somebody else. Then for sure he's not mechuyev to think. If she'll come and say it, why, it's for sure she's believed. There's no question about it. Because it's very rare. But the question is, do we look at her as being Poshea or not?
I'm in the car,
I can't find a pot, I'm sending somebody right up. So in the meantime, it came like Yaakov and Esav. As soon as he walked out, the second guy walked in.
He didn't give a name anything.
He didn't think I have to give a name. I'm sending somebody up to get the money. What should be a normal way a person should act under such a circumstance? What could we expect?
Normal person understands the language.
Well, but this person, we're talking about under whose circumstances, what she would do. This question was a question that was dealt with many rabbanim, both in Eretz Israel and in Europe and in America, on this situation. And there are various opinions. But most were the opinion that since it's not certain there's a pshia, since she doesn't know the language, that the paskin said she was potter.
So that's because it's a pshia.
If you tell me you're sending somebody up, maybe it's not pshia. If I don't know the language, you don't expect me to do anything else. That's the question. I don't hear you. If she knows language, for sure she's going to ask. Who sent you? Who are you? Who sent you? It's very easy to ask before you give money.
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is a person should be careful. An ounce of prevention prevents a great deal someone built in Israel, you know, there's several floors, many apartment buildings have several floors, and the person built himself a penthouse, a fellow who was open space, and there's a fellow above him on the side, but the problem was that the fellow below built his penthouse one step too high, meaning that if the always in apartment buildings where everybody are partners, I can build, then the fellow on top of me can also build, and he'll pay me back half of the expenses what were needed for him. Like, well, my roof becomes later his floor, so whatever he would have to pay for my roof and his floor, he pays half. But in this situation, the fellow below built one step too high. So the fellow on top came and said, let him tear down his building. He should tear it down. There was no way of correcting it. He said, no, tear it down. He asked me. He should tear it down. Legally, he's got a tiny, you suck his wall. You're technically, but on the other hand, Bayes didn't look at it. He's come for Benadin Ben Pshara that the fellow on top is actually gaining. That now, if he tears it down, he may never build again. And he's gaining, the fellow on top, he has a potential of using a porch. He has a potential of making a room. So, but the question is, what type of compensation should we give the fellow on top now? The question is, if the fellow on top is going to use it as a porch, then perhaps the fact that you have to walk up one step. I got in other places in Beit Shemesh, many times it's standard that they build porches as one where you have to walk up one step to go there. So it's not necessarily that it's always such a big damage, but depends what the fellow on top is going to do. He may never build. On the other hand, if he builds, if he makes him a passive there, so then the amount of damage that he'll have because it's one step is one thing. If he builds an extension to his living room, then his damage is greater. So the question is... Excuse me?
Why is it done? Because
it's
the wrong height.
You made it a little bit higher. So you have to have a step to go up to the porch. So that kind of shyly is, what type of compensation should we give him when it's unknown? He may never build. On the other hand, he may use it sometimes as a repasse. He may sell, or he may build it into an extension to his home. So how do we, what do we do in such a circumstance?
You don't charge him.
And wait.
You don't charge him half. He's got a free, sort of free.
For free? You should get hold of him for free. The amount of damage, is the same as the amount of his rubber.
The guy mentioned last week.
So we're not consenting. We're not making a fine.
You can't be fixing damage because you don't know what's going to happen.
So we have to know what to do. We're not just making a fine. We want to understand.
So why can't we value his interest as it is today? How much his interest is worth? And compare that with the interest, how much it would have been worth on the market if it had been built correctly.
Today also it depends what interest is today, what he plans to do with it. He's not going to do anything.
No, he's selling it today.
He's not selling it.
No, but if it works, we're doing the valuation.
In selling, we don't know either. If it's over the Mechira Yom, it's also hard to judge in selling per se. If a buyer, we got different opinions from people in real estate. If it makes a difference, doesn't make a difference, how much have we got various opinions. But that itself is not, doesn't solve the problem, because it's something which is not only for Mechira, but it's only for its own personal use. There can also be differences. And we have to evaluate those things also. Even in selling, it doesn't make a difference today. But the Chazon Ish says, the things which are not only for selling, but only for usage, you have to evaluate the differences in usage also. So that's why we can't just look at selling, even if there isn't a difference in the market. We have to look at these things too. Somebody said maybe we should just leave it open until we see what it does. But if you do that, that's the best way to prolong the machlokes for 20 years, you see. If you leave it open, then the people just won't talk to each other for the next 20 years. So we want to try to find a formula that should be a balanced pshara.
Yeah. Shots up, the difference would be the height and not, and they would pay the difference.
But we don't know what that the difference would be, what it's supposed to do. If he makes the porch, for instance, maybe it's a small damage. Maybe the difference of going up to a porch, one step, maybe a difference of 500 pounds, let's say, for example. If he makes a room out of it, maybe the difference maybe 5,000 pounds. So we don't know what the chances are, what it may do, if he will have, what will be in the future. So Kapanim, anybody have any suggestions? What we were considering doing was that, since it's unknown what he may do, he may sell, and we've given two advantages to the person who did it, who made it. One, we don't make him destroy his building entirely, which technically we could have. Second, it may be that the other fellow may never build or may never sell. So it may come out that the fellow who built it originally never will have to pay anything. So we decided that when the person upstairs builds, instead of paying half his cost, he should pay only half of his half, a quarter of his cost. This way we took into consideration the fact that even though that may come out, the building costs may be a difference of 5,000 or 10,000 pounds, that this way half of the floor and everything may be 20,000 pounds, this way he's only paying 10. But we're giving him that amount, even if perhaps that's a side of that's more than the actual damage, because we've given two advantages to the person who built it. One, technically up again, you could be Tavel, he should be says you should destroy his building entirely. Two, that he may never pay, because the fellow on top may never build and may never sell to somebody to build. Therefore, instead of that, we've given the other person the advantage that in case he ever builds, instead of paying half of what the cost have been with the floor and the things, he'll pay a quarter. If somebody has a different way of a balanced job, we're welcome to hear and listen. I'm just explaining to you the shikulim of the Beis Din.
What if he sells?
Sounds awesome. The other person has the same right as him.
And then the person has the burden of it.
The next fella has the same rights. Gets mamocha rishon sheni kos chus shelav liyari. The next lokeach has the same rights as him. That if he'll ever build there, if he'll build, he, instead of paying half, he'll pay only a quarter. The same rights as his seller had.
It was Hitler, right? I had to go to council.
I don't know the situation here. I don't know what it is. You have to ask the Rav that I brought him here. I don't know what cancer is. I don't know. I know, but what is the question? Going for what reason? What are you going for? A person should go to a din pirate. If you have a heter from Beis Din, then you can go to our quiet. We have to go to Beis Din.
You
should ask the local rabbonim. I'm not familiar with the question.
In Israel, for instance, if somebody, let's say, built an extension without planning permission, so to speak,
yes.
Can I report him to the Iliada?
Reporting something else. Two questions. You're asking whether the chachil you can stop him, or you can ask him report him. They're two different questions. As a question, can you stop him to start with, or a question whether you can be wasting him later, return him later. He asked two questions. That's awesome. The question, there are two different questions here. One question, whether you can stop them lechatchila, and whether you can inform them later. About whether you can stop them lechatchila, that's a machlokes in the poskim, in Eretz Yisrael, whether you have the right to stop them lechatchila, whether the city planning laws apply, because that's a takonis atzibur, that's a machlokes a poskim. whether you can stop Mechatchila. Whether or not you can inform later is a more serious question, because then you're causing him a loss. But stopping him Mechatchila is a Machlekes HaPoskim in Eretz Yisrael. But it's a different type of loss. Now, according to that, there's a Machlekes HaPoskim.